Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, this is your Alternative Facts for the week. I'm Chris Payne, I'm your host. We got a nice big interview for you all this week, so you're not going to hear too much from me at the top of this one. The interview is Neck Deep, pop-punk band from the UK. They were here in the Billboard office in New York last week, actually last Thursday, day before their new album dropped. In some parts of the world, it was just hours before the new album dropped. It's called The Peace and the Panic. And there's just a lot of excitement that you could feel from sitting in the room with these guys and hanging out with them. We talked about the new album that they put a ton of work into. We talked about Warped Tour, what it's like to kick it there, all their inside jokes, all their hangouts. Riding hogs is something they did a lot on Warped Tour. Hogs meaning like dirt bikes through the parking lot of Warped, which they just wrapped up a couple weeks back. And we also talked about serious shit. We talked about Brexit and Jeremy Corbyn. We got political. Yeah, I think from this you'll get a good sense of what it's like to hang out with these guys, the headspace they were in when they wrote The Peace and the Panic. So check out the album. If you're listening to this right now, there's a good chance you already have it or you've already heard it, but I think this is a good little introduction to get into their world, Neck Deep, to go along with the album, so... Here's the interview, playing you into it. Here's a little bit of motion sickness from the new record. We're hanging out in the archive room at Billboard. Neck Deep, welcome to the podcast.
What's up? Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Hey.
Yo, this is a big day for you guys. You guys antsy, excited, nervous? What's up?
A little bit of all of them, I think.
Release day Eve.
Yeah, I'm a bit, yeah, it's kind of like Christmas Eve. Kind of excited. Mostly excited. Maybe scared in case, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why we'd be scared, but super excited. It's been a long wait for us. We've been sat on the record for a long time. And yeah, people seem to be enjoying it so far. A bunch of people have heard the record. We've been doing some in-stores around the West Coast, and people have been getting the record early and stuff like that. So yeah, good stuff so far. Good stuff so far. We'll wait and see what happens tomorrow.
New album, The Peace and the Panic, comes out tomorrow. We're recording this today, about, I don't know, 18 hours, 15 hours, something like that, away from the album dropping. Actually, over in the UK, we're probably not that far away from the hitting.
That's a good point.
Hitting streaming services, actually.
Yeah, Australia, it might already be. Does it go out in Australia? Like, as soon as it hits midnight?
I don't know.
Probably will be. They'll
get it
soon in Australia.
Soon, then.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, as soon as Australia gets it, then technically that's when it'll start rolling out across
the
world.
That's the first one that
starts
it.
Yeah. And then that's when it all starts, I guess. Yeah, so give it... Yeah, probably a few hours, and I guess it's officially release day somewhere in the world, which is nerve-wracking.
So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we got a full band podcast here. So let's go around the room, introduce yourself so that people know your voices. Introduce yourself, tell us what you play in the bands, and anything you want to get off your chest.
My name is Ben, and I sing in Neck Deep. Really, I have too much I want to get off my chest.
Well, we're just starting here.
I'm sorry for spilling a whole thing of soup back in like 2003, Mum. That was me. I'm sorry. I wanted to get that off my chest for a long, long time. So, yeah, there you go.
Hello, I'm Danny, and I play drums in Neck Deep. And, yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, I'm Sam. I play guitar in Neck Deep. I don't really have anything to get at either. Just excited for tomorrow. Yeah, I'm Sam. I like to party.
Hello, I'm Phil. I play bass, and I suppose I do occasionally sing a little bit. And I'm just going to keep this going in case we're here all day. So, yeah.
And I'm Wes, and I play guitar, and that's about it. Sorry, we're not very interesting.
You guys, so we're in New York City today. You guys have been kicking around America a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Just got done with the Warped Tour, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So now that that's had to sink in, you can look back on the Warped Tour a little bit. I want to hear some stories. What are like the funniest inside jokes, random occurrences?
Warped's a good one for that because it's so long and there's so many bands that there's always just like mad stuff happening. But I'm trying to think of a good one from this year.
We definitely got given two bikes from Coleman.
That was the highlight of the summer. And I think
the highlight of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of, our whole summer kind of revolved around
the hogs.
Yeah. The hogs, as we call them. Yeah. Coleman sent us two of the, like, they're like mini bikes.
Mini motors, yeah.
They ain't even that mini, though. We thought we were getting the mini, like, 100cc mini little rippers. And they sent us like the 200cc hogs. So we were literally just tearing
and
it
then,
around.
Like, we had them for about 2 weeks and then we were like, oh, these rip, they go pretty fast. But what if we took the restrictors off and went even faster? So we went ahead and did that. And then
that's when people started getting injured. That's when we saw some injuries.
I was the first to come off.
I like how I'd be like on the bus at night and then I'd just be like in my bunk and then out of nowhere you just see someone hobbling in and it's like, oh, right, another victim of the bike then.
Yeah, I tried to do a 180 pretty much full speed on like with the restrictor off and just came straight off in front of a trailer with a full band set out. I didn't even look who it was. I just got straight back on and was just like, get out of this place. We ripped the skin off like my leg, my elbow, my side. It was so bad.
I think the worst injury we took on them was our... kind of assistant tour manager called Shoji. He plays in a band called Seaway, but he was like working for us this summer, and he had a few drinks one night and decided he was going to take it on himself to rip the hog, as you do. You just have, you know, you need a little evening rip. That's what we'd say, like, we'll just have a little rip on the hogs. Anyway, yeah, it was actually really funny. I was the only one there because I went on the other one because we only had two, and I went with him, and there was like, we're in the parking lot like, you know, midnight or whatever, and they had two like bollards with a piece of rope in between them, and he was ripping it and he didn't see the rope. He thought it was just like a gap. And so he hit the rope and like the rope's like expanding outwards, and he managed to stop before the rope like pulled him off or snapped back, and he kind of stopped and looked at me like, whoa, that was really close. And like as he was looking at me, like out of nowhere he kind of like accelerated and like flew off the back, and the bike like bounced across the ground and he cut up all his leg. And there was a police car right there too, and they like whipped the lights on and kind of screeched round, and we were like, oh my god, they're gonna yell at us. And he was just like, yeah, if you guys are gonna do dumb shit, can you just do it over there? That's literally what he said.
He had to have like antibiotics and stuff. It was like getting infected. It was really bad.
He flew out to a wedding the day after as well, didn't he? So he must have been hobbling around this wedding like everyone dressed really nice, and he's just got like huge scabs and cuts down his legs. Well, it was mad.
What else happened? There was
impromptu karaoke kind of happened, like, you know, there's a barbecue every night at Warped Tour, and that's all well and good, you know, it's a good time, you go and get some food, listen to some music, hang out, get a drink or whatever. But the real party, Friday night, there was like karaoke set up out the back of the Counterparts wagon, like in the parking lot where all the bands hang out. So it was kind of like this ghetto little party that was going on, like in the corner of the whole festival. And it started off on a like a if you know you know basis, and then it slowly found its way out to everyone. But that was a good time. It was bangers only,
hits only, hits over only. When it's shot.
Yeah. As soon as it gets shot, it's over. So that was a good time. That was a lot of good hangs there. I played Werewolf every night. I don't know if anyone knows what Werewolf is. Listening, like Ultimate Werewolf. Yeah, that's sick. That was a good time. It was funny actually. We were playing Werewolf one night, and karaoke was happening like within a reasonable earshot.
It's the first night of the tour, wasn't it?
Was,
first Wolf game of the tour anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember what song it was. And I can't remember what it was, but it was funny. It was a good time. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Oh shit, okay.
go to
okay,
work.
That was mainly one of the reasons. I can't remember what the song was, but all I heard was like Blake in the background in the distance, like we're trying to play this really serious game where it's like you need to pay attention to what's going on, otherwise you just like lose track of what's happening. And we all had our eyes closed and it was really serious and we're all trying to be fucking wizards and shit. And all you hear is Blake from Counterpart just going, "Oh shit," in the back, and just like they were singing like old ballads, but just like hyping people up for like a, you know, like a hardcore show type situation, yeah. And fucking yeah, just ad-libbing. Screaming and ad-libbing
just like motherfucker.
Yeah, everything. Basically, yeah. So that was nice and yeah, that really set the mood for a nerdy game of Werewolf.
You guys got a little bit more political on this album, you guys would say, right? Lyric writing, yeah.
A little bit.
Visuals,
yeah.
Music videos.
Yeah, we've always had the odd political song here and there. But yeah, now I feel like it's a particularly kind of prevalent topic. And I don't know, like with Judgment Day, I didn't want to be like straight up just like, you know, politics. But it was more just kind of overview of where I think the world is at the minute. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's important to talk about that stuff. I feel like, you know, if we can kind of engage any of our fans with politics, get them to have an interest and, you know, maybe get them thinking a little bit, then, you know, I feel like that's doing something good. And yeah, I think it was just really just a comment on where we're at the minute, you know, not just politics wise but maybe socially as well. And yeah, I just feel like it's important, rather than singing about breaking up with your teenage heartthrob, it's, you know, I think we've kind of matured a bit more now. I want to talk about some real issues. So. Is it just me or does anyone else feel like this could be farewell? Oh, we almost had it, then we pissed it all away. Building walls, dropping bombs, stop the world I'm getting on. But we almost had it, never thought I'd see the day when the world went up in flames. Yeah, like you said, it's not all political. You talk about like the dangers of celebrity worship in the song too. Yeah, and you know, kids, you know, fucking going to uni and not actually going to uni to like better themselves by any means, but just to go and smash a load of drugs and yeah. That's pretty much it. Just yeah, straight rave and kind of waste away a little bit. And I don't know, there's all that sort of stuff that I look into. I've kind of always, you know, not hated that side of things, but I think people pay way too much attention to it. And yeah, I think it was just trying to shine a light on that, maybe comment on it a little bit. I know, you know, not everyone necessarily would have to agree with me, but people seem to like it. People seem to like the sentiment of it, you know. I didn't want to be too in-your-face political about it, like too... I feel like as soon as you start getting, like, Rage Against the Machine, Bad Religion political about it, then that's when you become, like, a political band. And we're not, like, a political band, but if we can get people to think about politics or at least think about the world that we live in, then I think... You know, yeah, again, that's better than just singing about doing drugs and, you know, hoes and bitches and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, politics exists for everyone in their lives, whether they realize it or not. Everyone deals with that shit. So, like, in a way, like, everyone is kind of political. If you make music, everyone deals with that shit.
Yeah, I know, you know, and people, musicians and stuff as well, you know, at heart. And, you know, just being a musician, I think you're supposed to, you know, think about the world that you live in, and you suppose, you know, any artist is there to kind of express what's going on around them and to kind of draw attention to certain things. Yeah, and I think at heart, you know, musicians and artists are just, you know, pretty outward or well, introspective people, and but also, you know, take a lot from their surroundings. And I think yeah, it's just an observation of that, I think. And I think it's critical to have that kind of observation and to kind of have that perspective, because yeah, current climate is pretty heavy. And I think, you know, politics now is probably more prevalent than it's been in probably forever since, you know, well, for a good long time.
What you guys can
for a long time since, yeah, exactly, since I can remember, yeah, since, you know, in my 20-something years. So, yeah, and I just think it's a topic that is worth talking about and I think is very important right now, which is good. I'm glad people are finally, you know, getting into politics. I was always that kid at school that was like, I had a massive conspiracy theorist older brother who has chilled out a lot now, but, you know, he's telling me all about aliens and stuff when I was a kid, and I was like, yep, everyone's a lizard. But no, you know, I was always in school, and I was kind of like, hey, you know, this maybe, you know, pay attention to this, have a look at this. Have you ever considered this? Obviously just spouting off whatever the fuck my brother had told me, but that kind of allowed me to have an interest. And now it's like, yeah, now you're interested. Now you're seeing, you know, what people have been saying for a long time. You know, it's finally coming to fruition, and, you know, you can see that the world is kind of taking a different turn and is going in a different direction from what people would ideally want. But yeah, so it's good. It's good. I'm glad the political climate has kind of caused people to think and to want to talk about it. So if we can aid that, then that's cool, I guess.
Sure. I mean, in America, obviously, since November 2016, a lot more people have become politically engaged all of a sudden. But for talking about you guys being from Wales, from the UK, is was it maybe like Brexit happening during the time of writing the album that caused a lot of this?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a bit of both, really. Yeah, it is a bit of both. Brexit was kind of like our Trump gate. Yeah, you know, like that, when that all went down, that was kind of like a similar... yeah, a similar kind of feeling of like anguish, you know, and a very similar like divide, like straight down the middle. One part that can, like, one half, pretty much half and half, like one half of the country thinking one way and the other thinking the other, and it really kind of divided people and infuriated people and kind of gave rise to a few despicable kind of ideologies, you know. People, you know, some people came crawling out of the woodwork, you know. They thought immediately, oh cool, so we've left Europe, that means I've got the right to be an incredibly racist bastard to everyone who is slightly brown. And it was just, that was kind of horrific to see. But yeah, Brexit definitely definitely sparked a lot of emotion amongst the British public, and kind of a similar sentiment to the whole Trump thing. It kind of left a lot of people questioning where the fuck we are at as a country. Yeah, it's frustrating, very frustrating. Still kind of, and again, we've yet to see the full effect of it, as I guess America is with Trump, and I think we are with Brexit. I don't think anyone quite knows where it's actually going. So, yeah, scary. But, yeah, sometimes things have to get really, really bad before they get better, you know.
You guys did pretty well with Jeremy Corbyn, though.
Legend, yeah. He's like our Bernie. Yeah, he's like our Bernie. Yeah, he's great. And, to be honest, I actually think, like, you know, the Bernie could have done really, really well, and I would have loved to see someone like Bernie in power. That would have been awesome. I feel like Jeremy did really well, though, you know. Towards the end, he, like, fully won over a bunch of people. He really, really challenged for the Prime Minister, to become Prime Minister, and I think he still will, you know. I still think the political climate in Britain is very unstable still. Nothing is set in stone, you know. No one, you know, the current party who are in power and the current Prime Minister definitely isn't popular, and I don't think they really have too much of a plan for what to do with Brexit and, you know, various other issues. So we'll see what happens. It's scary times, but also kind of interesting times, I feel like, to be alive. I feel like we're on the cusp of a real big change, like, globally, not just, like, by country. I think, like, the world is going to change massively in our lifetime. I think in 30 years, maybe even sooner, the world could be a very different place, and it could be at this point for the better or for the worse. We don't really know.
Sure. And for the past few months, you guys have gotten a really big taste of what it's like all fucked up over here.
Oh yeah, I mean,
have you been here the whole time since the Warped Tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, with Charlottesville and stuff. Yeah, that was, yeah, not nice to read about, you know. It's kind of baffles me that things like that even still, like, you know, white supremacists and neo-Nazis and stuff, that still has, well, it obviously doesn't have a place in society. People would say that it doesn't, but amongst some, you know, portions of society, it obviously still does have its place, which is very scary. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think the worst thing about it was kind of just how Trump's dealt with it all, really. He just has not responded well in any way, shape, or form. You know, people, the you know, white supremacists and stuff have always been there, but they've always been condemned, and it's always been absolutely not. We don't want to be associated with them. And Trump has kind of just gone, well, there's blame on both sides.
Like, yeah.
Oh, dude, come
that
on.
I got to hear both sides argue.
Yeah. It's so
like,
it's crazy.
Not the time for that.
Yeah, man. And, you know, again, Trump is absolutely despicable, but the fact that he is president, I think, is very telling of the times that we live in, the fact that a celebrity business owner can become president. And seeing the effects of that, that's going to go down as kind of, this will go down as quite a monumental period in human history, I think so. But for probably all the wrong reasons.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And aside from the conspiracy theories and the government and the political talk on this album, there's some personal sentiment on this album too. I'm really interested in 1970 something. Would you guys be down to talk about what that song's about?
Yeah,
it's definitely a Ben.
That's
topic,
another one of me. Yeah, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm just taking. Yeah, I feel like I'm hogging the mic here. Yeah. That was definitely a tough song to write. Obviously, it's about like my dad and stuff. My dad passed away this year, October last year. Yeah, you know, I didn't really want to write a song so that it was so like blatantly about the whole situation, but kind of just came out, kind of just happened. Couldn't hold it in. So, yeah, it ended up coming out. But I didn't want it to be this super sad, you know, song about death, and it'd be this like really, really depressing song. Yeah, it's a sad song, but it's got, like, again, in typical Neck Deep fashion, it has this kind of positive, this positive tone to it that kind of runs throughout. And, yeah, you know, I didn't want to make it a song just about my dad's death. I wanted it to make it a song kind of about love and, you know, what it's like to kind of have a lifelong connection with someone and to have a fan, the importance of, like, family more than anything. And it kind of ended up being a song about family. But, yeah, I kind of just wanted to tell a story with it. My parents had a crazy love story. And, you know, they were together. Their anniversary would have been yesterday, actually. They would have been married 43 years. But, like the song says, they met. And in within 6 weeks, like, got married. My dad was gonna get married to another woman. He didn't want to get married to her. My mum had just got married really young, first time around, and like regretted it, divorced, and, you know, big mess. And my dad was about to get married, didn't want to get married, and they met one night, and yeah, hit it off. And my mum said to my dad, actually jokingly, like, oh, if I could, then I'd marry you, like, I would save you from whatever you're feeling right now. And it was kind of like a serious tone to it. And 6 weeks later they were married, and stayed married for like 42 years. So
it's like, we messed up the first time, now second time.
Yeah, exactly, nailed it the second time around. Yeah, so yeah, it was. It's a really, you know, there's way more to it than that, but it was always a nice love story. I always, you know, liked the idea that, like, hey, yeah, you know, you can meet someone and, you know, they can completely change your life. And it's, you know, one of the lines in the song is, love don't go that way anymore. And I don't think it does. Like, you know, fucking people don't meet each other in person anymore and, you know, stay with each other. It's just like, hey, if people meet in person now, it's usually drunk as fuck at a club, and you end up taking them home and just like, hey, yeah, let's fuck, never see you again, maybe that's it, you know, maybe I'll gram you or something, slide in the DMs. You know, back then it was like, you know, if you met someone that you had a connection with, you had to trust them to like meet you at this certain place at this certain time and blah blah blah. And I don't know, I think there's just something romantic about it, and I think, you know, it's something that maybe people, or that maybe we lack these days. You say
I love you and I miss you. I owe you everything. And I hope you know you saved me.
Great for you to get that out in the song, though. Seriously, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was hard to put all of that into kind of one song, but I think we did it pretty well. I took my time with that one. It was kind of tough, but ended up being really good. And yeah, kind of a different song, like phonetically as well, like for the band, you know, as the sound of the song, you know, it's definitely a lot more stripped back. And I don't know. I think it maybe does have a more kind of like pop thing to it. It kind of has like this pop build to it anyway, and all these, you know, various kind of minimal layers. But so that was cool too, being able to try something different musically as well as like lyrically.
Yeah, just what's it like for you guys? We've been joking about, you know, experiencing so much America, but what's it been like for so long being away from like family and friends back home?
I think that one is one that like you don't ever really get that comfortable with, and like it's always gonna suck, you know. Like you feel like, especially when you miss big things, you know, like that's always a tough one to deal with when, you know, you find out something's happening, even if it's something you weren't expecting, or if it's something that you knew was coming up, like someone's birthday or, you know, a big family event that you know you're gonna miss. Like, it's tough, but there's always times where you sit there and you feel kind of shitty about it. But then there's always times where you kind of remember, like, at the end of the day, like I'm sure I speak for everyone when we say like we wouldn't ever want to do anything else, and it's just like, it's just the scale balancing out. And like every time it sucks, like it's not long till you snap out of it and realize like we still have the best of it, you know. And like everyone back home, all these things that we are missing, none of those people would wish anything else for us, you know. They all support us and want us to do what we dreamed of doing, which is this. So it's tough, but you know, it's just probably one of the only, you know, bad parts of doing this. It's just the price you pay, I suppose.
Yeah, that's definitely the hardest part, is kind of being away. And you know, especially when you're away for months and months on end and you're kind of exhausted and you haven't been in the same place for longer than a day. And you know, it seems like a shit, like, you know, like a shitty thing to not, I'm not complaining, this is my new thing, not complaining, just explaining that yeah, it is, it's, you know, for a dude in a band, like that is the worst part of it. And you know, people might be like, oh, well, you get to travel the world, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes we don't get to see much of where we're traveling. Sometimes it's literally just, like, get in that hotel, get some sleep, and then get to the fucking venue. That's it. And it's like, you know, traveling hours and hours at a time and having to play a show, like, doing that every single day can be fucking exhausting, man. And it can really just drain you emotionally and physically.
I definitely was one of those kids. I remember, like, when I always wanted to play music and be in bands and stuff. When I was young, I'd get like magazines and watch interviews on YouTube and stuff with bands, and they'd be like, yeah, touring so hard, like I miss my family all the time. And I'd be like, fuck off, like you've got the best life in the world, like I'd kill for what you've got. Like, and I always used to say, like, dude, that was me, I wouldn't give a fuck, I'd be having the time of my life. And then I got here and I'm like, ooh, yeah.
I kind of wish I was,
guess I was being
right
a bit
here,
ignorant,
yeah.
There, like, not like ignorant, but you know what I mean, like, yeah, you're like, sorry. Okay, kind of understand it now, like,
yeah,
because it's not being ungrateful, it's just being like, yeah, it's amazing, but you do miss your family,
there
and stuff like that.
The downsides. Yeah,
sure, yeah.
Downsides. But yeah, with saying that as well, like, yeah, we're all still, it always does come down to like, this is the greatest thing in the world though, and we are incredibly lucky to be able to do it. So you kind of just got to take the L on the missing the family front, and yeah, just kind of have to get on with it. At the end of the day, you kind of just got to suck it up and stop complaining, really. So, yeah.
Are any of you guys in relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty much all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, yeah.
Long ones, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been...
You're the longest. Oh,
yeah,
are you the longest?
Me and Wes have both been with our girlfriends for pretty much the entire time of the band. Maybe a little bit longer than me. Getting on 5 years for me.
Oh, so you've kept it going with being all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all... Yeah.
What's your secret, Wes? What's secret? What's the key to a stable relationship?
I don't know.
Buy loads of red bats.
Yeah. Just be a boring old man, pretty much. Go to bed at 9 every day.
Yeah. That's not... I don't do that too much. I go to bed at 9 a.m., yeah. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of it's just trust. don't be a scumbag, basically. It's not too hard. And honestly, yeah, my lady's really kind of kept my head on straight with a lot of things. I think if I didn't have a girlfriend to the time that we've been doing Neck Deep, I would be an absolute mess. So yeah, she's...
It's very, like, humbling going back home and just, like, going back into, like, normal life with them, because it's just, yeah, like... I don't know.
And it's good to have someone. It's good to have someone that appreciates you as a person with absolutely no kind of like with a band not being like an influence at all. Like, I know me and like I met Neve like just as the band was like taking off, when the band was like tiny. Like, she came to our like
she was like, "What is this?"
Super super early shows. Yeah. And I met her like super randomly. She like yeah, and she didn't know about the band at all, and we just hit it off. And so like, that's a good thing as well. That kind of is good for you mentally to know that, like, cool, this person
loves you for
me.
You.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not like, oh, cool, they're in a band. I can take advantage of this.
It's like me and Lyd. I met her in my media class in college. Yeah. I've just been mates with her for a few years, and then it was like, oh, we should probably just start going out, really, shouldn't we? I was like, yeah, all right.
Is that how you asked her?
Literally did. Yeah, did, first thing. It's like, where do you want to go on a date? It's like, oh, well, there's not really much in Wrexham, though, is there? It's Nando's or Frankie and Benny's, and Frankie and Benny's is shit house. Right. So just went to Nando's
instead. My first date with Neve was sat in my tiny, tiny little uni flat. Like, so this is basically where I sit 24/7 watching Breaking Bad and just being a fucking layabout. And yeah, I'm surprised she didn't leave me then and there. Yeah, no, it definitely helps having someone that you can kind of rely on, and, you know, she inspires me to. She's been the inspiration for a ton of music, a ton of songs that we've written, and yeah, you know, and I don't know. It's good. Keeps your head on straight. That's mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. It's good for the mind, and yeah.
Yeah. So as Neck Deep looks to the future, shout out what you guys have coming up. Tour. Obviously, we talked about the album. Totally. Let the people know what's up.
I mean, not everything, obviously.
Well,
put it out in the podcast, so it's in podcast audio form.
Album's out tomorrow, August 18th.
Next thing, well, we go from here back to the UK to do a bunch of kind of UK in-stores and signings and acoustic performances and like HMVs and stuff like that. Then we have Reading and Leeds Festival right after that. Mm-hmm. Then we have a couple of weeks off, and we're going to our tour manager's wedding in Colorado, which is obviously really important for everybody to know. and then we go back to the UK for our UK headline tour, which is going to be sick, doing some big boy rooms like Brixton. We're putting some production into this one, so it's going to be sick. Then we go from there to mainland Europe headline tour, which will be sick. Then we've got like the Christmas break off, and then we're back to the States for the US headline tour in January/February. And I think that's as far as we've announced.
That is as far as we've announced. But we have loads of cool stuff. We're going around the world again, which is great. Going to some places we've never been before, so very excited for that.
Yeah.
Man, I think we covered everything. Thanks so much for coming by, guys. No
worries. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much to those dudes for coming by. Peace in the Panic, out now on Hopeless Records. You heard some of it during the show. Go check it out. Listen to the whole thing. It's actually looking like it's going to have a pretty nice debut on the Billboard 200 albums chart this coming week. Maybe even top 5. You'll know Sunday in a couple days, so keep up with Billboard.com for updates. And as for updates on this show, we're going to have some interesting stuff coming up. Subscribe to the show. We're going to have a brand new episode coming soon about their new album. That one could happen as soon as this week. I'm trying to pick together some people to talk to, some diehards, some insiders, get you a unique take on Brand New, who are looking like they're going to have the number one album on Billboard 200 this week. How about that? Yeah, that album's incredible. There's a lot to unpack there. And I want to get into that with you guys soon. So that'll probably be next week's, next Thursday's episode. So make sure you get it. Subscribe to the show. Head on over to iTunes or just go into the podcast app on your phone. Search for hashtag alternative facts, all one word with the hashtag, and get it automatically every week. And while you're there, give us a little rating. You've already heard the episode now. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Star rating helps a lot. So super appreciate all that kind of stuff if you got time for it. And besides that, to keep up with the show, you can just follow me on Twitter, @CPainOnAPlane.
Chris Payne is my name. You can just search for it. It's the first name that comes up. C H R I S P A Y N E. I'm always riffing on there about what's coming up with the show, tossing out little hints about guests I have coming up, topics I might be taking on, just stuff that's going through my head. So, yeah, find me on Twitter. Talk to me about the show. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear. I always write back. Stay in touch. Otherwise, next podcast is Thursday. This is a weekly show. Subscribe. Let me know your feedback, and we'll catch you next week. Peace out, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.